Hi there, welcome to the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Griffith, and I am so excited to have you here. On this podcast, we talk about all forms of neurodivergence, from ADHD to learning disorders to giftedness to autism and more. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to Neurodivergent Magic.
Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome back to another episode of the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about ADHD and workaholism. Because I don't know about you, but as an autistic ADHDer myself, I work a lot, and not only do I work a lot, I love to work. And this is not all bad. But it's definitely not all good either. And I think we should talk about both sides of this, why this happens, and how we can find some balance when it feels like our brains aren't really wired for balance. So a couple of weeks ago, I had a really amazing guest on this podcast, Camille Aponte, and they were talking about monotropism. And if you didn't listen to that episode, it's okay. I'll recap it real quick for you. But monotropism is basically the way that a lot of neurodivergent brains, especially autistic brains, tend to go really, really deep on a topic as opposed to like kind of going shallow, but going widespread. So a lot of autistic brains are not extensive, we are more intensive, if that makes sense. And Camille pointed out in that episode that ADHDers can experience this monotropism as well. Instead of like a special interest, so like a long-term sort of monotropic mind, ADHDers experience something called hyperfocus, so like shorter bursts of pretty intense monotropism. So what happens when you're both and you have both long-term and short-term monotropic thinking? Monotropic spiral, baby. That's what happens. There is such a good article on stimpunks.com about monotropic spiral, and I'll go ahead and link that in the show notes. That's where I'm getting a lot of my information about this. But just to like debrief you on that, monotropic spiral is when we sink our teeth into something maybe a little too deep, and we get so invested, so involved that it morphs into a kind of obsession that is often not super good for us. This is absolutely what happened to me when I was in college and I was deeply, deeply obsessed with my mental health to the point of being very unhealthy. And I think that's kind of what's been happening to me over the last couple of years as I've been establishing my business, this business, you know, the podcast, the life coaching, all the good stuff. It's definitely been less unhealthy than my mental health obsession in college, but it still hasn't been super good for me as a whole holistic person. I've actually been putting in a lot of effort recently to be more of a whole person with a little more balance in my life. But for about 2.5-3 years there, pretty much my mindset was either I'm working and I'm being productive and I'm good and I'm happy and I feel in flow, you know, that flow state, the hyperfocus that a lot of us get into, or I'm not working and the only productive use of my time is to sleep so that I can work more later, of course. And as a result, I have grown to resent some of the like household tasks that I just have to do and that it's really not fun to resent because they're just a part of my daily life, you know? I've lost some of my hobbies, you know, my ability to read. I used to be one of those kids who read like 500 page novels in like a weekend in middle school. And now I struggle to sit down and read for more than 20 minutes because it just feels like a waste of time. I'm not working. And although there are many reasons for this last one, I've also like gained a lot of weight and not really been in the like healthiest activity level bracket that like I want to be in, you know, like I can't really run around with my toddler the way that I want to. And there's lots of reasons for this. You know, I started a different medication, that weight gain is part of that. I had 3 babies and, you know, 2 pregnancies. That is definitely going to lead to some weight gain and stuff like that. So there's lots of reasons for it. But I think a big reason for it is that I just stopped prioritizing moving my body. I just work. And for me, working looks like sitting at a computer and, you know, not moving. Now, all of this being said, like I said before, it hasn't been completely unhealthy. You know, I consider myself to be pretty fortunate in a lot of ways because a lot of neurodivergent folks, especially autistic folks, have a really high percentage of unemployment or underemployment. And so I feel really lucky that I have found a form of employment that works with my brain that I can actually make money at. I feel really fortunate that my husband was there to support me when the business was starting and it wasn't super profitable or, you know, financially feasible. And I'm really, really lucky and happy that the business has grown into what it is now and that it is, you know, a big part of our like financial stability now. Not to mention, I just get so much joy from doing all of this. Like, I'm recording this podcast at 10:30 at night because I felt inspired to talk about my relationship with work. Now, is this an example of part of the problem? Yes, probably. But also, it's an example of some of the good that can come from this as well. Like, I think being passionate in this world that tries so hard to beat us down is something we shouldn't let go of. It's not that I want to let go of my passion or my monotropism or my hyperfocus. Honestly, I couldn't let go of those things if I tried. They're part of how my brain works. Instead, I want to incorporate some of the other things that bring me joy as well. Now, doing that is hard because right now, work really is eating up all of my time, all of my energy, all of my ability to focus. And you can't just add stuff to that. You know, you have to take away. You have to prune in order for new growth to come about. Now I say that, but my first example of how I am, you know, incorporating more movement into my life, incorporating my hobbies and like being more of a full whole person is kind of just adding. And that is I recently got like a sit stand desk and a walking pad. And that way I can like walk while I work. And so my working time isn't completely devoid of body movement. So that's been so nice, so great. Sometimes I just walk on it in the evenings and read my book. And so, you know, two birds, one stone, we love it. I'm getting my hobbies and my movement in, and I'm taking time away from work. So I have really genuinely loved it. I think this is a pretty good solution for a lot of ADHDers who just generally. So many studies show that exercise is so good for the ADHD brain, like so good for us. And the funny thing is, for the last like 3 years, I've been thinking, you know, I should work out, I should work out, I should work out, but I hate working out. I don't hate working out. I never have. In high school, I did P90X for fun. Like twice, you know, in college, I worked out all the time. I really enjoy working out. It's cathartic for me and it's a break from all the brain power. I, like many other autistic people, often think of myself as a floating head, right? I'm just a big nebulous cloud of thoughts and feelings. And when I work out, it's this brief period of time where I can be in my body and it doesn't feel overwhelming or bad or overstimulating. It feels good. It feels like I'm putting this vessel to good use. Hello there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. I just wanted to interrupt this episode really quick to tell you all about the Neurodivergent Magic Program. This is a program designed to help you cope with executive dysfunction, which is something that almost every neurodivergent person experiences. If you don't know, executive dysfunction is a lot of things, but basically it boils down to you want to do the thing, you are trying to do the thing, and you just can't, and you feel awful. What this program, the Neurodivergent Magic Program, does is it helps you cope with executive dysfunction through a combination of practical and emotional tools. We'll cover body doubling and building momentum, but we'll also talk about the shame that is often deeply rooted in a lot of neurodivergent people because we grew up in a neurotypical society that wasn't accepting of us.
And if you're thinking, what in the world does shame have to do with executive dysfunction? Kind of everything. And I would love to teach you about it. So this is a program where the whole goal is to teach you to get shit done in 24 hours or less. So if you are really struggling with your ability to accomplish tasks and to feel good about it, that is what this program is designed to help you with. And I can't wait to see you there. Check out the show notes for the link to join or send me an email at megan@neurodivergentmagic.com. Something else that I'm adding, but also kind of taking away, is reading more. So that's the thing I'm adding, is just reading more. But the thing I'm taking away is the pressure to remember everything I read. I have ADHD, and I feel like I used to retain books better, but I just don't now. And so there's this huge part of me that's like, I should highlight and take notes and all this stuff. That way I can remember what I read, because it's important. But oh my gosh, that just makes reading such a daunting task for me. And it's like, no, just read to enjoy it in the moment. And if you remember some stuff, great. And if you don't, that's okay. Just giving myself permission to read for enjoyment instead of reading for information, I guess. And finally, the biggest thing that I'm taking away is we are looking into daycare for the twinnies. And I bring this up because I think there's a lot of working moms out there who feel a lot of guilt and stress about putting their kids in daycare. Or maybe I'm the only one, but I kind of doubt it. And part of it is the sort of my autistic way of thinking, where it's like, no, I had a game plan, and the game plan was not to put them in daycare yet. And so, like, I don't like the plan is changing. So that's, you know, uncomfortable for me in a lot of ways. But I think another big part of it is like, well, I should be able to do all of this. I should be able to provide for them and do my work and take care of the house and take care of my body. But that's too many ands, you guys. It's too many. And I just, we have decided that it's the right move, not just for us, but also for the girlies. And yeah, I just bring it up in case there's anyone else listening, maybe feeling weird about that decision. Don't. I mean, I know easier said than done, but don't. It's okay. I am also struggling with it. So if this is something you're kind of grappling with or stressing about, please feel free to DM me over on Instagram @neurodivergent_magic. I would love to talk to somebody else who's also going through this. So please feel free to DM me. Anyway, the truth is we can't just keep piling things into our life and just hoping it'll all fit. That's actually, I'm reading, one of the books I'm reading right now is How to ADHD by Jessica McCabe, the person behind the channel, the YouTube channel, How to ADHD. If you haven't seen that YouTube channel, you absolutely need to check it out. And if you haven't bought the book yet, you need to either buy the book or see if your library has it, whatever you can do to get your hands on this book. It is so good. But she has a whole section about scheduling and how scheduling can be really hard for ADHDers, not only because we struggle to schedule, but also because even when we do learn to schedule well, we have trouble accepting that no amount of perfect scheduling can help us do literally everything all the time. And I read that section and I was like, well, damn. Shoot, that sucks. I want to do everything all the time. And it's hard to make those sort of choices, I suppose, about what am I going to do? What am I going to not do? But I think it is important to be intentional about what we choose to do and what we choose not to do. Because if we don't make an intentional choice, then our lack of time, lack of energy makes the choice for us. And oftentimes it's making choices that neglects areas of our lives that we don't want to neglect. It just kind of happens that way. But yeah, that is my experience being a kind of a workaholic and how I am working to become more of a full person. And I keep saying that, more of a full person, as if I'm not already a full person, even though I work maybe a little too much. It's not necessarily that I don't view myself as a full person. I like the idea of myself being well-rounded and dynamic, to use some literature terms.
I don't want my whole life to revolve around work when there are so many other beautiful parts of my life as well. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm working on right now. And if you relate, go ahead. Like I said, DM me on Instagram at neurodivergent_magic. I would love to talk to other ADHD workaholics, and I will talk to you all next Saturday. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next Saturday for another amazing episode.